We have our first two semi-finalists in this season's competition after a night of high, high drama in Munich and Madrid.
Benzema, who directs the header across the goalkeeper and in at the far corner, and Karim Benzema has his say in this second leg.
Real Madrid were on their way out at one stage, but Karim Benzema settled an extraordinary second leg against the defending champions Chelsea. Meanwhile, Villarreal stunned Bayern to reach the last four for just the second time in their history. We'll tell you how, after a compelling, breathless night of football, the Champions League delivered again. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and it was a stunning, stunning Champions League Tuesday. With me to reflect on Real Madrid and Villarreal's progression are commentators Jonathan Beck and Phil Blacker. Phil, you had the honour, the privilege of watching that match at the Bernabeu. Real Madrid celebrating almost as if they'd lifted the trophy again at the end. Such was the effort, such was the emotions that they had to go through to make it through to the last four.
And those celebrations, Chris, tell you just how hard they had to work, how far they were pushed all the way by Chelsea in what was an extraordinary, compelling contest. Knockout Champions League football at its very best. Both teams ending with the huge amounts of credit. Chelsea was so close to completing a remarkable turnaround, but Real Madrid showed their late resistance and resilience to take it to extra time and then to snatch it at the end. A tie that had everything, moments of individual brilliance, collective outstanding team displays, wonderful goals, disallowed goals, drama, controversy all the way through. It was just compelling, it was sensational, and I'm still really getting my breath back after one of the best games I think I've witnessed, maybe not just this season, but for an awful long time in this or any other competition.
You're going to need it, Phil, because we've got 30 minutes to try and explain how it happened. It was sensational. Normally teams that lose leave the pitch quite quickly. Chelsea forlornly at the Bernabeu can barely drag themselves off the pitch. Such was their effort. They played their part in an absolute Champions League classic. And Villarreal, Jonathan Beck, seeing off Bayern, one of the great fairy tale stories in this competition's recent history.
It is, and we've seen them do it against Juventus. We saw them do well away from home in the UEFA Champions League group stage, but every hurdle they come to, they still believe they can do it. They've knocked out Juventus, the dominant side in Italy over the last decade. They've knocked out FC Bayern, the dominant side in the past, and the current dominant side in German football. Nobody is going to relish facing them in the last four.
Certainly aren't. European football expert Kevin Hatchard watched both matches. Can barely believe what you've seen, even in this grand old competition's recent history. We've seen loads of quarter-final drama, but this was right up there, wasn't it?
That's why we love the competition. Mm-hmm. Incredible underdog stories, incredible moments of quality, comebacks that didn't quite get over the line, some heroic defending, brilliant goalkeeping, some top-class players on the score sheet. Wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
And a pass that made us all fall in love with football from Luka Modric, which we're going to get into in a moment. Okay, these are the quarterfinal results on Tuesday. Bayern 1, Villarreal 1. The Spanish side through 2-1 on aggregate. Real Madrid 2, Chelsea 3. The Spanish side through 5-4 on aggregate. We will start in Spain. It only seems right, given two La Liga sides are going to be in the semi-finals. The 13-time winners Real Madrid had a 3-1 lead heading into their quarter-final second leg against Chelsea. Here's how it unfolded.
It might break here for the shot, it does! And Chelsea have the all-important first goal of the evening. It's Mason Mount that has thumped it in from the edge of the penalty area. That is exactly what the defending champions needed and required. White-footed delivery, and there's the header from Rudiger across Courtois in at the corner, and Chelsea back on terms in the tie.
They're 2-0 up at the Bernabeu, and the champions are level on aggregate at 3-3. Timo Werner tries to squeeze one in, deflected on the way through, and it has gone in. And Chelsea in front in the tie. They're 3 up at the Bernabeu.
Modric
pings it forward, first time, good ball. Fabulous finish, taken first time by Rodrigo. Might just be his first touch, he's only just come on, and he's scored the goal that levels up the tie on aggregate again. And extra time looms again. 3-1 Chelsea, 4-4 on aggregate. And from the byline, pulls it back for Benzema, who directs the header across the goalkeeper and in at the far corner. And Karim Benzema has his say in this second leg. The man whose hat-trick had Real Madrid on the brink of progress has stepped up when it matters in extra time to turn it back in favour of Real Madrid. They're ahead again on aggregate, 5-4.
Well, after all of that drama, after everything that happened, it was Karim Benzema that settled it in the end. An epic night at the Bernabeu. Phil Blacker and Kevin Hatchard alongside myself, Chris Parrott, now to try and dissect it. We should probably go right back to the start. Real Madrid then, Phil, 3-1 up coming into the home leg. They looked in command. We said, we thought, Thomas Tuchel mentioned it, if Chelsea get the first goal, it becomes interesting. And Mason Mount did that after 15 minutes.
He did. Yeah, I mean, so much happened. It's difficult to cast your mind back that far. It seems an age ago. But yes, it was so important. I don't think anything that followed would necessarily have happened if Chelsea hadn't got that first goal, and particularly fairly early in the piece as well, through Mason Mount. It was a well-worked goal. Loftus-Cheek, who certainly justified his perhaps somewhat surprising inclusion in the side, was involved, as was Timo Werner in the build-up, and then a wonderful first-time finish outside of his foot, but plenty of power from Mason Mount, picking his moment to score his first Champions League goal of the season. Was his first, actually, since he scored against Real Madrid in last season's semi-final, but it had Chelsea on their way. Real Madrid had plenty of possession in the first sort of 10 minutes or so, but that goal changed everything, and the belief came flooding back that Chelsea could do it, and they were in charge in the period that followed Mason Mount's opener.
It's really interesting because Chelsea have this incredible quality, and we saw that towards the end of last season in this competition. But what they haven't had this season is that stability. And even though they went on and built on that Mason Mount goal, and Rudiger's header for the second goal was fantastic. It was a good delivery, really attacked it. But you still felt that Real Madrid had opportunities all the way through. And so Chelsea, you have to give them immense credit that they built that 2-0 lead, and suddenly it's game on.
And when Timo Werner scored to make it 3-0, I mean, an improbable scoreline, Phil. 3-0 with 15 minutes left at the Bernabeu. I mean, very few teams do that. OK, Barcelona did it a couple of weeks ago in the Spanish Liga, but not in the Champions League. And Chelsea at that stage, you thought, yeah, they're probably going through.
Particularly in the context of how that goal came about and when that goal came about. But yeah, to put it into context, I mean, Real Madrid had never lost by more than two at home to English opposition in the history of this competition, in the history of the club. And yet Chelsea had previously thought they'd gone 3-0 in front a little bit earlier through Marcus Alonso on his return to the club where he started his career. He was away and celebrating. The goal had been given, thumped it in on his less favoured right foot inside the penalty area, but it was pulled back incorrectly, ultimately disallowed after a lengthy VAR check for handball, because the ball had just bounced up and hit him inadvertently on the arm in the build-up. So that one didn't count. Chelsea had to deal with that disappointment in the immediate aftermath. I think about a minute later, Benzema hit the bar with a header from right in front of goal, which, given what we saw from him in the first leg, you would have expected him to score. It really could have gone either way. And when Chelsea then did go up the other end, and Timo Werner, 15 minutes from the end of the 90, got his goal, then you thought, well, yeah, actually, this is happening. And Chelsea were favourites from there and should have made it 4-0 not long after, and would have done, but for a fine save from Courtois to keep out a Kai Havertz header from a corner. I mean, so many what-if moments that they will look back and reflect upon.
And I think there'll be what-if moments, not just with goals they should have scored, but goals they shouldn't have given away. Because the goal that forces extra time comes from them cheaply giving the ball away in their own half. Who do you not give the ball away to in your own half? Luka Modric.
Yeah.
Who then comes up with one of the great moments, I think, in UEFA Champions League history. Because to see Rodrigo's made a far post run is one thing. To then think, what's the best way to give him the ball? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll hit it with the outside of the right foot to curl it perfectly into his path. So much so that he doesn't even have to break stride to volley it past Mendy and in. It's just an unbelievable mix of quality, vision and self-belief to be able to do that. It's just jaw-dropping. It really is.
Hang it in a gallery.
It was.
We've had the honour of seeing it back a couple of times. Head over to UEFA.com or the Champions League app or UEFA.tv to watch it. It is sublime from Luka Modric. And it's the sort of pass that he has been playing for 10, 15 years. All we know he can play. But then the fact that on the volley, and he just come on, right?
Rodrigo. I love that kid.
And it completely throws the game again. We go to extra time, but then you feel that all of a sudden, despite losing 3-1 on the night, Real Madrid head into extra time in this weird game we love with the momentum.
Just a very quick point on Rodrigo. I know he's not always a regular starter. I know Vinicius Junior has eclipsed him to some extent. I think that kid is going to be an absolute superstar because one quality he has that a lot of young players don't, when he comes on, he's ready. Bang, straight away, I'm in the game. That is a hard thing to do. To be able to turn a game of this magnitude in the way that he does, and he's done it before as well in the Champions League, I think he's going to be a superstar, I really do.
It was an instant impact from him of such significance, of course. But I have to credit Chelsea as well in the immediate aftermath of the concession of that goal. It must have been so deflating for them, having come so close to making history and turning around this improbable deficit. They then responded at the other end, even before we got to extra time. They brought on Christian Pulisic, and Thomas Tuchel had limited his substitution. So happy was he until that point with the way that things had been going. But he had brought Pulisic on. He had a couple of chances, which both just cleared the crossbar going into added time at the end of the 90 minutes. Ultimately couldn't take either of them, so to extra time we went, and then it was Real Madrid who stepped up again, that the next twist went in their favour. But at that stage you certainly felt, or I did, that twist could have gone either way. It was a 50-50 game again by then, but no surprise that ultimately the final say in the scoring was had by the man that, thanks to his first half hat-trick, has won the tie in every sense, Karim Benzema, with four of the five goals. But yet again, further evidence in the fashion that goal was scored, of that incredible productive partnership that he's developed with Vinicius Junior, who deserves such a degree of credit for the part that he played in the goal as well. But I think maybe fitting that it was Benzema who was in position to finish it off and have the final say, although there was plenty of drama still to come after that.
On one hand, Chelsea would be really disappointed with the nature of the goal because it's really sloppy. It's a pass out the back, which N'Golo Conte is not quite on the same wavelength. The ball goes loose and Camavinga does well to shift it to Vinicius Junior. What's great about it is Vinicius has the patience to wait for the defender to move out of the way, and then he knows Benzema's free and he chips the perfect ball straight onto his head and says, go on, attack that, Karim. And then doesn't try and put too much power on it, just a downward header beyond Mendy. It's a great, great goal.
Interesting as well, Toni Kroos came off for Camavinga and he did have a big, big impact. He had a big impact in the last round when Real Madrid squeezed past Paris Saint-Germain as well, a young French star with a massive future. Phil, you sound absolutely exhausted and I completely understand.
I feel like I've played 120 minutes.
I'm going to give you 10 minutes off before we come back at the end of the show. But fantastic commentary. Real Madrid have now won their last five knockout ties against the defending champions in this competition. What happened on the previous four occasions? They went on to lift the trophy. A good omen for Real Madrid. No such rest for you, Kevin Hatcher, because I need you here to tell me what happened in another belting game between Bayern and Villarreal. We're going to look back on that very shortly.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moments in UEFA Champions League history. Vote now at uefa.com/UCL feeling and you could win tickets for the final in May and some other amazing prizes.
Let's head to Germany, where Villarreal travelled to Bayern looking to defend their 1-0 lead from the first leg. Here's what happened in Munich.
A simple goal kick and Bayern have made them pay. It is Bayern 1, Villarreal 0. We are all square. Chukwueze is free! Chukwueze! Oh, can you believe it? It's only his second touch of the ball and Villarreal might just have stunned Bayern in their own backyard. A break from one end to the other and the substitute looks like being the hero. It is Bayern 1, Villarreal 1. They've gone from one end to the other to create magical moments for the club. They've earned a 1-1 draw. It's enough for a 2-1 aggregate win, and it gives them the right to be in the last four of the UEFA Champions League.
The perfect counter-attack, and Villarreal, having knocked out Juventus in the last 16, have beaten Bayern to make it through to the semi-finals for the second time in their history. 2006, the last time when they were beaten by Arsenal, but they are back in the last four and they will believe that they can go all the way. Jonathan Beck with the commentary joins me and Kevin Hatchard now. Celebrations at the end told the story. This team from a town of 50,000, which is significantly less than the capacity of the football arena München, and over not just the 90 minutes in Munich, but over the two legs, perhaps even the most ardent Bayern fan would probably accept that Villarreal deserved it.
He just has a way, Unai Emery. He ended, you know, he bookended the brilliant away run Bayern had been on. His Paris side beat them in September of 2017. They went on a huge 22-game unbeaten run away from home until last week, when Unai Emery got the better of them and he held them in their own backyard. He's fashioned a side of experienced campaigners like Raul Albiol, who've been around the block and seen it and done it and got the UEFA Player of the Match today for his display. You know, Etienne Capoue, whose career was going fine, you know, just happy at Watford, picked up, and now he's playing in a UEFA Champions League semi-final. They, along with Parejo and Coquelin, were so, so important in midfield. Dani Parejo, who marshalled Valencia for so many years, is now making Villarreal tick. And Dan Juma revitalised an excellent season in the second tier of English football, got him the move here, and now he is a Champions League semi-final player as well. Gio Lo Celso, who's made such an impact on loan from Chelsea, and Gerard Moreno, on loan from Spurs, I should say. Gerard Moreno, who just has kind of emphasised just how together they all are and how much they believe in what Emery is plotting for them. Incredible stuff.
The only way you can achieve results like this is if you accept you're going to suffer at times. And you're going to have spells where it's not going well. You're going to have spells where you feel exhausted and you feel like there are, you know, two players for every Bayern position. And there was a spell in the second half when it was like that. Mm. And the timing of their then pushing out from defence wasn't quite working. Foyt was having a nightmare with Kingsley Coman at one stage. And they hung in there. And they were brave on the ball when they needed to be. And the ultimate example of that is Dani Parejo. Because it's his error for the goal from Lewandowski for the opening goal of the game. Because he takes a little too long playing out from the press, building from the back, and he gives the ball away. And then Bayern go bang, and then they move through the gears and they get the goal. For the equaliser, he's in exactly the same position, in exactly the same scenario. He's got Bayern players trying to cage him. He's got four around him, and he takes the extra touch. A lot of players wouldn't, and he plays out. And as soon as he plays out, the space opens up. Gerard Moreno then brilliant to Chukwueze, and a little bit of fortune with the finish, but Villarreal will say, who cares? It's a brilliant breakaway goal. But you have to give Emery immense credit for making that sub, because to take off the guy who's probably been your star forward, Danjuma, after he's just had a decent chance to score and say, nope, I think Chukwueze can actually be a threat in behind. That is great coaching to have the bravery to do that. From Bayern's point of view, if we're being brutally honest, they played well for 35 minutes across two legs. And that's not enough. That first leg was not acceptable from their point of view. And the first half of this second leg just didn't do enough.
Let's hear from Villarreal's Nigerian star, the tie winner in the end with that late goal. He was on cloud nine after scoring the goal that sent his side through to the last four.
I think it's a very great moment. One of the best life. The thing that happened in life is football. I'm so, so happy. And the team is happy also. And the club and the fans out there. That's the single. That means the goal means a lot to them. We're going to celebrate inside the dressing room first. Then when we get to our hometown, we're going to celebrate more. It's not easy to win. It's not easy to win the one of the favourites in the Champions League. Before you win the Champions League, you need to beat the best.
Samuel Chukwueze there, who has written his name into Villarreal folklore. Interesting what he said there about when we get back to our town. And that sums it up, right? Most superstar clubs now come from big cities. So we look at sides that are in the last eight, and now the two sides who are in the last four of the Champions League. And it's a town thing, right?
Half the town's in Munich,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I mean, though. People, Villarreal are not a club, I mean, maybe they will be after this season, that have massive international support,
yeah,
or even massive support within Spain in all corners in every city. They are a side from a very proud town, where almost everybody who lives in Villarreal is a supporter of the football club. That's young, old, man, woman, child. My word, that collective pride of their team reaching the semi-finals of the Champions League will be massive.
It means an enormous amount. And neutrals should love this.
Yeah.
Because it shows what can be achieved. And the Roach family have done an incredible job with that club. They have managed it in a very sensible way. They have qualified for Europe in 17 of the last 22 seasons.
Mm.
Now, that's just extraordinary when you think about it.
In a league with the amount of top clubs that there are in Spain.
Completely. And to have success over a certain amount of time, OK, you can do that. To do it over a couple of decades and to maintain the things that the club is built on, that work ethic, that team spirit, that connection with the fans, that's a really hard thing to do. And I think what was lovely, actually, was that Unai Emery was, by his own admission, tempted away by a job back in the English Premier League and actually said, no, I'm going to stick with this.
Mm.
And I think this is a massive triumph for him again, because he's had a couple of club jobs that haven't worked out. And, you know, there are various reasons for that. But he's shown that good coaching and good man management can go a long, long way.
Well, his opposite number, Julian Nagelsmann, will exit the competition at the quarterfinals in his first season at Bayern, and we can hear from him now.
So hard, so sad. We want to go to the semi-finals, but we did not reach it. We go out of the cup, we go out of the Champions League now, we only have the league. We try to keep on pushing in the league. It's not that easy to talk about the league in this moment. It's a sad moment, and it's hard to accept. Last season was the same, so we have to make the right decisions for the future, and it's not enough for us.
Well, Julian Nagelsmann was sat at the full-time whistle on his bench, Jonathan, and almost looked like he didn't want to leave. How do you think he and the club will react to an exit in the quarterfinals when they were hoping to go much further?
It's certainly one that the German press are going to react to, and the Süddeutsche Zeitung and lots of the other local media will certainly be worth reading tomorrow, I would hazard that. As for Julian Nagelsmann, well, it's not how he wanted his first season in the job to go, is it? Kevin mentioned in the build-up that, look, this is a season-defining moment. If they get through, then great. Then the sky might be the limit. If they don't, then, you know, just a league title. Bayern have become so used to winning just the league title, but just the league title, you know, it isn't enough for them. They're away at Arminia Bielefeld in the next game this coming weekend. It's going to be quite a come down. They'd probably like to be at home. You know, they've got Dortmund coming up not long after that. the side that they're 9 points clear of at the moment. You know, the title's not wrapped up, but with five games to go, it is almost there. He's a super talented guy. He's trying to make them play a slightly different way. He went with three at the back tonight to get the best he thought out of Sané and Kuma as the wing backs. And you know, that first 15 minutes of the second half, it looked like it was going to pay off for him. You know, he could have left it as it was in the first leg and looked to try and get better performance out of his players. He tried to change it around. They played the game, the majority of it, in Villarreal territory, but like Arsenal last season, like Juventus before them, like clubs who have come up against a yellow brick wall,
yeah,
they just have not been able to break it down.
They have not. So Villarreal are through, and they will meet either Liverpool or Benfica in the semi-finals. Can Wednesday deliver as much as Tuesday, Kevin Hatchard? Surely not.
It's got a high bar.
It has, yeah.
I think Liverpool will go through, but Benfica, this is a massive occasion for them. And they've earned this trip to Anfield. So, you know, they will look to represent themselves and their club in the best possible way. I think Atletico Man City is very, very interesting. Atletico, I think, will adopt a similar approach to the first leg. They might try and push it early on, but I think it will settle into that pattern. So it's then about whether Manchester City can break them down. Atletico will try and get it to the last 20 minutes and then go for it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because if you open up against Manchester City, good luck with that. So I think we'll see drama. I think we'll see tension. I think Liverpool will go through. The other one's a lot tighter.
I hope that's... both clubs haven't got a city centre hotel, because I think Madrid will be rather loud this evening with Real Madrid supporters
just a bit
singing and celebrating. There's another massive match in the Spanish capital, and of course the winner of Atletico against Manchester City will play against Real Madrid in the semi-finals. One of the reasons they are through is thanks to a majestic piece of skill from Luka Modric, and we can hear from him now.
We didn't give up. We keep believing, we keep fighting, and on the end we scored two goals. We showed huge character. This stadium and the fans were very helpful with us when we were losing 3-0. They were there, they were keep supporting us, and that gave us more boost to keep believing that we can turn this around, and we did it on the end.
Luka Modric, one of Real Madrid's great players. Karim Benzema is another. Phil Blacker, it's time for your player of the match. And this must be a pretty tricky one, because Chelsea won on the night, but they go out.
Yeah, there's a few contenders, actually. I thought Chelsea were excellent for the most part. Mason Mount to the fore. You could argue a case for a number of Real Madrid players as well, but I would give it to Luka Modric. Probably deserves it for that one pass alone, but not just for that reason. I thought he was outstanding, and we touched on it in commentary at the end. He was as effective at the end as he was at the start, had the moment of quality, but also symptomatic, I think, of the know-how of this Real Madrid side to, even when they were 3-0 behind and up against it, to find a way to go through it, and Modric was central to that.
Thanks for you. You can have a lie down now. Luka Modric was the official player of the match as well. Jonathan Beck from Bayern Villarreal, who really stood out for you?
Well, Raul Albiol got the official UEFA player of the match as the man who marshalled things. I thought Etienne Capoue was excellent. He played a couple of excellent through balls for Arno Danjuma, who didn't quite managed to latch onto them and do what he would like to do with them. He battled in midfield. He and Parejo and Coquelin in the first half sat deep, marshalled it. He really tackled well. He won the ball well. I'd give it to Capoue.
Kevin?
Unai Emery.
Yes.
Superstar.
Lovely answer.
The guy's elite. He really is. I mean, you know, you've got Guardiola, you've got Klopp, you've got Tuchel. He's not that far behind them. He's fantastic. He really is.
Well, he's won a lot of UEFA Europa Leagues, and he's now sent a team through to the Champions League semi-finals. Kevin, Jonathan, Phil, thank you very much. What a night. The quarter-finals. Extraordinary drama in the Champions League. We're back on Wednesday. Full commentary of Atletico against Manchester City. Live updates from Liverpool against Benfica. And we know our first two semi-finalists. Congratulations to Real Madrid and to Villarreal. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.